might mean for us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are a God of promises, that you're a faithful God, and that you can be trusted. We thank you for your word, and we thank you that it was written to build us up in our walk with you. And we pray that this morning we might learn from it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I've got here in my hand right now a promise. It's quite literally a promise to pay £10. It says on it, and very appropriately, it's got a, when you hear a little bit more, it's got a nice picture of Robert Burns on it. It says, Clydesdale Bank PLC promised to pay the bearer on demand the sum of £10 sterling at their office by the board of directors. Appropriately signed 25th of January 2017. For those of you who don't know, last night was Burns night. I did have my haggis on Saturday, and I could tell all day on Friday and could tell all day Saturday I'd eaten haggis the night before. Just a little bit heavy. But it's actually a Scottish £10 note, if you haven't worked out. And I'm just going to let you know what the law is about this, because I've had a few encounters in shops over this matter when I come from Scotland. And the law is, this is legal tender, right? So if any of you work in a shop, or know anybody who does, or the Stores Cafe, it's legal tender. But actually, the reality is that there's about two shops which actually accept it, I've discovered in Aylesbury. One is Marks and Spencer, no questions asked, they just take it. The other is Sainsbury's, after they've called a supervisor usually. Everybody else. I do pity, we got off a train once and my mum only had a £50 Scottish note. And I do have to give the taxi driver his credit, he took it, because none of us had any cash on us and he didn't take cards, but never mind. Whatever the assurances are on this money, it's often ignored, and this promise actually makes me feel like a bit of a criminal if I try and hand it over. And actually, it's one which doesn't really hold fast the minute you get beyond Berwick-upon-Tweed into England. But the covenants, the promises in the Bible are much, much more than that. They're more than a human contract, more than a promise to do something. They're unbreakable. And in the Bible, the covenants are promises that God makes to his people and how he builds everlasting relationships with his people. And over recent months, what we've been doing is we've been looking at the book of Genesis. It means beginnings, the first things about God and how he reveals himself to people. And what we've seen is that God makes agreements with people. Some people say the first one is in the Garden of Eden, but everybody's agreed, but he makes a covenant, an agreement with Noah, and that agreement is he won't flood the earth again. And then we've been looking more recently at the covenants God makes with Abram as he leaves the city of Ur, that's in modern day Iraq, and he goes to what is going to be called the promised land, Canaan, which we would know today as Israel. And if we go further into the Old Testament, what we see is that God makes a whole number of covenants with his people. There's one to Moses, where he promises that he will bless the people of Israel, the children of Israel, if they follow the law. That's in Exodus chapter 19. And then God makes a covenant with David. That's in 2 Samuel chapter 7. And he promises David that his descendants, David was king at this time, he promises him that his descendants are going to be rule over Israel forever. And we as Christians see that fulfilled in Jesus. And then Jesus comes along and he says that he offers a new covenant in his blood. You might think of the words that he says at the very first communion service at the Last Supper. This is my blood of the new covenant, the new agreement, the new promise between God and human beings. And interestingly, Jesus also points to the fact that covenants are often marked by the shedding of blood. And today we're going to be looking at a part of the of this covenant that God makes with Abraham. It's a promise not just of land, we saw that in recent weeks, but this covenant is now broadened to Abraham's descendants. And we've seen in recent weeks that Abram and Sarai, Sarai is Abram's wife, they don't always get things right. There are times when they kind of follow God really faithfully, and then there are times when they try and rely on their own thinking, their own wisdom, and they get it really rather wrong. And what the danger is with lots of stories is like this from the Old Testament, is we see them as kind of nice stories, but we don't see that they speak to us today. Because, and one of the things I want us to pick up this morning is how this idea of covenant actually affects us today as Christians who live in what Jesus called his new covenant. And I think that this morning there's a really powerful message for us about how we need to be consecrated and set apart for God. So, a little bit of the story so far, and this is going back to around about chapter 11 of the book of Genesis. So the last six or seven chapters. Well, Abraham was living in Ur. That's it's called Ur of the Chaldeans. It's in modern-day Iraq. And he's gone on a big, long journey. He's gone up through Iraq, and he's gone through what we'd call Syria. They weren't called Iraq and Syria in those days. He's gone down past the Promised Land, and he's gone to Egypt. And he's grown wealthy, but he has to flee from Egypt. Then he and his nephew Lot have separated. Then he's had to rescue Lot because Lot's got in a bit of a mess. And Abraham, all the time, has got a bit of a problem. And that problem is that he, a little bit like Henry VIII, he doesn't have an heir. And for a ruler, a leader, he absolutely needs to have an heir. And God has bizarrely or strangely promised to him, you know, that things that he's going to inherit this land and all this. And he thinks, how are all these promises going to come right when I don't have an heir? And last week, and we saw how Abram slept with Hagar. She was a maidservant of Sarai, his wife, in an effort to have an heir. And they had a son, and he was called Ishmael. Now, Ishmael wasn't outside of God's plans. We saw that in the message the angel gave to Hagar last week. And Ishmael, by this point in the story, is 13.